The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Luke. Once while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long, but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats, so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
I speak only to the greater glory of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. So as my more free days are drawing quickly to a close, I have been swamped in assembling every sort of accessory that seems to be necessary to keep a small human from dying at this point, which I didn't know there were quite so many. It really stands to reason that there must have been a generation that survived perfectly fine without car seats that seemed to be able to go over an anti-tank mine. But nonetheless, there is a bunch of stuff being put together. And as I'm sitting there with a science degree and a master's degree wondering why I can't figure out how to fold a stroller and seeing parts all over the place, I was thinking back to one of my favorite television shows, Home Improvement, and seeing a little bit of identification with Tim Taylor wanting to maybe put it together for a little bit more power and put a gas engine on the stroller. But also in the fact that in trying to put together this one object, I have now destroyed the entire rest of the house around me and made probably more work than when I started out. It stands, that's much more my way of fixing things, but it stands in contrast to another television show, MacGyver, where the main character took the wrong tools for the job and yet somehow actually got the job done right with nothing that should have actually been useful. In contrast to my method where you have an entire tool closet which somehow manages only to destroy the house, instead he managed to take what was garbage and do the job that should have been done another way. And that is very much how God seems to work in this world. Very much in that MacGyver's fashion of using the wrong tool for every job that he sets out to do, and yet somehow coming out with the result that he actually wanted in the end. And all of today's stories in the scripture readings are examples of that. We start with the prophet Isaiah with basically saying, you know, I am not to be the prophet. I am the wrong person you could have chosen. Why are you having me see this great vision? I can't even speak well, and yet you want me to go and give this message to all the people. And being one of the longest books in the Bible, he obviously did a good job by the end of it. But then you get St. Paul in his first letter to the Corinthians going, of all the people that should have been the apostle of the church, it shouldn't have been me. I was, in fact, one of the Pharisees, as he calls himself. He was among them stoning the first Christians in the streets in the book of Acts, and yet goes on to be responsible for most of the New Testament that we have today, and indeed the oldest books in the New Testament that we have today. And then we see Jesus doing the same thing with a couple of fishermen by the Sea of Galilee, or as Luke calls it, the Sea of Gennesaret, going and asking to borrow their boat so that he might have a stage from which to speak to all of the people that have crowded along the shore. But then he gets a curious idea that he might help them in their fishing a little bit, because it doesn't seem like they're terribly good at it. So he asks them to go out, now that they've fished all night, to the back into the middle of the lake to put their nets down again, now at the wrong time. You don't fish in the morning when the fish aren't biting and are happily fed. And while they think to humor him, they go out, and suddenly now with him they bring in more fish than they ever could have possibly imagined, such that their boats are now sinking, trying to get back to the shore. And when you think of a sea, it's not that big. We often think of the Great Lakes. This is really a small little pond, but that they are going out and bringing out fish upon fish upon fish, more than probably were in the lake to begin with. But it is just out of those sort of things that God brings miracles. It is those people, fishermen who weren't even terribly good fishermen, fishermen being among the lowliest in society, that he takes out and says, "Come follow me, I will make you," as the original pun went, "fishers of men," that we may go out and spread the good news to the world. And it is precisely those people who went and did that great work. As we heard in that hymn we just sang before the gospel, they had fairly eventful lives, St. John dying in exile on the island of Patmos, and St. Peter being crucified upside down on Vatican Hill, feeling unworthy to die in the same manner as Christ. But they both let grace, they let Jesus invade into their lives and said, "Okay, yes, here I am. Let me follow you for whatever the ride is going to be from this point." They weren't the right people for the job, but they were the people who would say yes to going forth and doing the job. And by allowing that invasion of God's grace into their lives, to sweep them off their feet, to knock Paul off his horse, as his conversion story says, to take the fishermen leaving their boats, nets, and their gigantic catch of fish at the side of the lake and walking away to follow someone they barely knew, it is in that God started his church. In fact, Jesus coming into the world picked the most unlikely person to do it. When God wanted to have his baby born, he picked not only among the poorest of women, but an unmarried woman, a virgin who had no business having a baby in the first place. But out of that came the incarnation of God. It is always the wrong tool for the job that God picks, but in making it work, shows his amazing power to do things in this world. But now, as the rabbis used to ask, then how shall we live? Well, God teaches us in this that he calls us to be faithful, not necessarily successful. Success is often well out of our grasp, well out of our reach. We often don't control whether our efforts in this world amount to something great or not. But God calls us not to be responsible for the outcomes, but be responsible for continuing to go forth and try, to be responsible for continuing to say, "Here I am," to allow that grace to invade our lives and allow ourselves to be put forth as tools for his work, even when we feel like we are pretty bad tools for the job to which he calls us. That's not important. All he asks is that we go forward and keep offering ourselves to the work. He promises to make it successful in the end, for he is far more powerful than us and can MacGyver things out of our craziness that are much greater than we could have asked or imagined if we are but willing to go forward. And that is often a scary thing. I love the last line of that hymn we just sang, "The peace of God, it is no peace. peace, but strife closed in the sod. Yet brothers pray for but one thing, the marvelous peace of God. When we let that grace invade our lives, it often does shake the very foundations of what we think the world is, who we think we are, what we think we can do. I don't think that those happy fishermen intended to be martyred on the great hills of Rome and exiled into islands. I don't think the apostles knew what they were getting into when they left their entire livelihood and followed this man whom all they knew about was that he could perform a really good fishing parlor trick. But yet they went out and followed him, and as they say, the rest is history. And many of us, as we find those calls of grace in our lives, can be easily discouraged by, this isn't something I can actually do. But take it from an incredibly introverted scientist who doesn't love public speaking very much, who is now standing up here every week as your priest. God can make funny things out of what we think. God can pull off much more than we can ask or imagine out of what little we have to offer him, so long as we are but faithful in offering it back to him. And so, as that last line goes, the peace of God, it is no peace, but strife closed in the sod. Yet brothers pray for but one thing, the marvelous peace of God. Amen.